back together again, you and I, kicking off a brand new month, Thursday, December 1st, 2022 on Connecticut Today. We featured a chat at the outset of the show about upcoming changes to the state's bottle bill. We also talked again with Southern Connecticut State University Professor of Biology, Dr. Sarah Crawford, about the so-called triple-demic of viruses that's going on right now. Nickel and dime and nickel and dime and a few cents here and a few cents there. Here a cent, there a cent. Everywhere a cent, cent. Hey, how are you? We're in a new month here. How about that? 1st of December, 12/1/2022, right here on Connecticut Today. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Just heard Ed Oliveira there in the newsroom talking about, well, you're getting nickeled and dimed even more. And I know everybody's saying, oh, it's for the environment, it's for the children. Well, you know what? It's treating you and I like ATMs. Oh, we need a little more money, so we'll just do a nickel here, a dime here. Customers are going to begin paying a 5-cent deposit on more beverages at the start of the new year. Now, this is the bottle bill. Now, one thing that happened earlier this week in the special session up there in Hartford, our esteemed leadership there up there said, hey, let's tap the people of the state for even more money. Because you know what? Hey, they're going to want their new beverages that aren't that don't have the deposit for the bottle bill. So we're just going to, hey, we'll stick it on there. It's more revenue. Now, people have paid the deposit on soda and beer bottles and cans for 40 years. So the bottle bill is nothing really uber new. It's been around for decades. But that expands to, get ready, you folks, starting in the first of the year, hard cider, plant water. Plant water? What's plant water? Is that water for your plants? Or water you drink from plants? Plant water. What is that? It'll apply to containers for hard cider, plant water, or plant-infused drinks. Juice drinks, teas, coffees, kombucha, along with sports and energy drinks. So basically, you're going to get torqued for everything you buy now. Hey, you're going to get torqued for everything. Oh, come on, Paul. It's just a nickel. It's for the environment. But again, it never stops. Oh, come on. It's just a nickel here. It's just a dime there. It never stops. And then you figure, you know, you pay this. Just as an example, right? Because I'm just kind of reacting on this as a regular kind of guy. You pay this, and the state always says, well, we're kind of short. Yeah, we're in the red again, so we have to raise this and raise that. Never fails. The hope is that people will turn in their bottles to get the deposit back. How many people do that, honestly? Now, do you bring back your bottles? Now, I know I could. I'm just lazy. Actually, I do save my bottles, and the condo complex I'm in does the recycling thing. So it's not like I throw them in the garbage. I'm a little conscious, you know, on that one. Lawmakers voting during the special session this week to let retailers sell old stock, even if it isn't labeled with the new deposit by January 1st. Oh, isn't that nice of them? That's so nice. That's so nice of our the chosen ones in Hartford. So nice of the chosen ones in Hartford. Democratic State Senator Christine Cohen of Guilford, we have a waste crisis on our hands in the state of Connecticut. Really? Really? We have a crisis of waste? Means we can't get rid of our waste? Is that what it is? Or people are using products? A crisis of waste? Okay. Cohen said, we know that there's been some supply chain issues as of late, and we want to make sure retailers are not taking product off the shelves. The bill will change once again on January 1 of 2024 when the deposit goes up to 10 cents. There you go. There you go. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? So you get half screwed this January 1st, and then you get screwed again on January 1st, 2024. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Cohen said it helps consumer behavior in ensuring that they do bring those bottles and cans back. Who brings the bottles and cans back? Honestly. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. Do you redeem your bottles and cans? That's kind of a weird thing to start the show with today. But I was reading, you know, doing my show prep today, and I'm saying, geez, it's going up a nickel this coming January 1st, and then a nickel on January 1st of 2024. And mark my word, so it'll be 10 cents. Mark my word, it'll go to 15. It'll go to 15. It'll go eventually to 20 cents. I'm serious. You think... Because they know, the people in Hartford know how the revenue streams go. And they know that, I don't know what the percentage is. You tell me, do you bring your bottles and do you go to redemption centers? I've done it once or twice years ago. But I'm a single guy, so I don't have that many bottles being used during the week. I drink a lot of water out of the tap. Thank you. But man, oh man, on January 1st, of 2024, the deposit fee on bottles of everything is going to go to 10 cents. It goes up to 5 cents this coming January 1st. It expands to hard cider, plant water, or plant-infused drinks. Infused is a new thing. We used to say flavored when I was growing up, right? Hey, it's cherry-flavored. Hey, it's lemon or lime flavored. Now it sounds good. It's infused with lemon. You hear that? It's like a test drive isn't a test drive anymore. It's your local car joint. It's a guest drive. We don't have ashtrays anymore. We have ash receptacles. I actually saw that. So January 1st, this goes up a nickel, and then January 1st of next year, it goes up 10 cents. And everything is going to be have a deposit on it because they're banking that you won't take your bottles back. And I'll be the first to admit, I rarely do. I can't remember the last time I did. My God. So starting on January 1, it expands to hard cider, plant water, or plant-infused drinks, juice drinks, teas, coffee, kombucha, along with sports and energy drinks. There you go. The state of Connecticut turning the screws on you again. I know what you're saying. You're saying, Paul, come on, for God's sake, loosen up. It's only a nickel. Ah, but as my mother used to tell me, it's the principle of the thing. Ain't it, kids? Let's talk about something that's been bubbling up really over the past month or so, and over the past couple of weeks, we've heard of this, what the experts are calling a triple-demic, the combination of COVID, the flu, and RSV. And one of our go-to people ever since we started dealing with COVID and all this almost 3 years ago is back with us, Dr. Sarah Crawford. She's a professor of biology at Southern Connecticut State University, and she can basically explain to us in easy-to-understand terms what is going on here. Professor Crawford, hi, it's Paul again at WICC. Good to have you back. How are you?
Very good. It's great to be back. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm good. I'm good, except I had round three of COVID. Now, the first two rounds were very mild.
I didn't want topics like this, but yes, I had heard all about that.
Yeah, and I about 2 weeks, it was, yeah. And this was about a month ago, only mm-hmm. felt really bad for one day. The other 13 or so, I just kept testing positive, so I was home. My breathing was okay. But mm-hmm. I guess even people like myself who are vaccinated and boosted, that's not unusual, is it?
Unfortunately, it's not. The good news is that at this time in the pandemic, getting sick isn't quite the same story as it was 2 years ago. So thank goodness, you know, you can make a fairly good recovery and in a fairly decent amount of time and not suffer too much. But it's still COVID. It's still a serious disease. But thank goodness it's not what it was before. But it's true that the boosters and the vaccines only go so far. And it turns out that the most recent booster, the bivalent, which was created against the Omicron BA4 and 5, has very little activity against the newer variants going around right now, the BQ1 and 1.1. So that is really a problem. And it seems as though the severity of the disease is less, both because of the virus and because people have either been vaccinated or gotten COVID or both. So we're not talking about the same pandemic, but we are talking about a serious respiratory illness that continues to baffle us in many ways.
What do you think I was hit with? I mean, obviously we don't know unless you cultured, but what was kind of prevalent, Dr. Crawford, about a month or a month and a half ago in this area? Was it a different variant or not?
It was a transitional time. We were moving from the BA5 to the BQs, and probably you still had the BA5, but it could, at that point, the BQ 1.1 was starting to uptick. I would say if you had it now, you probably had the 1.1. But at that juncture, you were sort of in between. The main difference between them is that the 1.1 is even almost 10 times more infectious than the BA 4 and 5 were. So we are not out of the woods yet in terms of catching COVID.
Yes, and the big Italian wedding I was at was probably a pretty good Petri dish. Talking about the state of disease in this country, what's up with the COVID-19 virus and what they're calling the other two parts of the triple-demic, along with COVID, the flu, and RSV. One of our go-to people on this now for about 3 years, Dr. Sarah Crawford, professor of biology, Southern Connecticut State University. And Dr. Crawford, we get now to, I guess, the other two parts here besides COVID, the flu, and RSV. A couple of questions. How bad is the flu this year? Do we know if the vaccine is worth anything, how well it's doing? And number two, for folks who might not know about this, what is RSV?
Okay, I'll take your first question first, which is the flu. And this year, the vaccine is quite well matched to the strain of flu that's prevalent, which is the H3N2. So that's the good news. The bad news is that this is one of the most infectious forms of the flu, and it hasn't been around. The last time it became so prevalent was about a decade ago. And the problem with it is that we had the combination of long-time social distancing with COVID, and people's immunity is falling really low to other infectious diseases. The fact that this particular strain of the flu is very good at evading the immune system, so it can result in more severe disease. Although the vaccine is very well matched, last year's data showed that there was only about 32% effectiveness of the vaccine overall, and it was the same strain that was circulating, same vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So again, putting all this together, it seems as though the vaccine, as usual, will help decrease the risk of becoming seriously ill, hospitalized, or dying. But again, the overall protection of getting the flu is not so great. And the second part of your question, RSV.
Sure.
RSV is yet another virus. It's different. It's different. It affects children, infants, and very young children, and older people. So it kind of is a bimodal incidence and can be very severe with both groups, because this particular virus invades the lower respiratory tract. So that's its main target, and therefore can result in pneumonia, bronchiolitis in infants, and very serious complications. So it is potentially a deadly disease in the very young and in the older population. And right now it's exploding, probably again, combined result of social distancing, a long time for people being away from the crowds where these things normally spread at lower levels, and also the fact that it appears that pregnant women who fall into this category who were not in the public during COVID, which is most of them, don't transmit the immunity to their fetus. So that, therefore, the child is more susceptible shortly after birth. The infant is more susceptible to RSV. So we're seeing a skyrocketing incidence rate, and that's very concerning.
So essentially, Dr. Crawford, our immune systems were like, the pro athletes who basically didn't do any training in the off season, and they jumped right back into competition and were playing catch up.
That's the thing. I mean, if there's no targeting the immune system because we're not exposed to any infectious disease, the immune system essentially, I mean, it's a crude analogy, but goes to sleep in a sense. It's not as armed as it would be and ready to go. So you have that very serious issue. And they're hoping now to develop an RSV vaccine. There are several vaccines that are in clinical trials, particularly for pregnant women, young babies and children, and older adults. But that's a couple of years off. So we're still waiting and dealing with this on a symptomatic basis.
Have you, Dr. Crawford, seen in any scholarly articles or among communication and people in your area, I mean, is there a potential that somebody could get hit with, say, two of these at the same time or three of these? Is that at all possible? Any notion that has happened?
Well, I like the fact that you ask very, very good, challenging questions. That is a very important question, and it speaks to a very basic issue in virology, which is called viral interference. And that is that when you're infected with one type of virus, it may restrict or prevent another type of infection.
Hmm.
And that's sort of a biological process because one virus changes the target system. And don't forget that these viruses are all targeting pretty much the respiratory system, some certain parts of it. So the fact is that what happens is one virus blocks another. So that's why when you have COVID, you might see less RSV and that sort of thing. But the idea that multiple viruses, therefore, could infect a single person and cause, a catastrophic effect is very, very remote because of this biological interference that seems to go on. It's not fully understood, but it's a very interesting phenomenon.
Interesting. And Dr. Crawford, finally, let's go back to COVID finally here. What do we see on the horizon there? What's the latest on any more new variants and maybe in other parts of the world and what challenges they may pose in the short term and long term?
Well, Europe is usually a good predictor of where we're going. And so they are in the throes of high level BQ 1.1 and 1 now. Our levels are increasing every day. As I said, the booster vaccine really doesn't target that. So we're kind of more susceptible than we might like to be. However, the severity of the infection does not appear to be any greater than some of the more recent variants. The levels are going to increase throughout the winter season. And I think researchers right now are convinced that the only way really to quell this ongoing game, cat and mouse, essentially, with this virus, is to develop what's called a universal vaccine, which is a vaccine that would incorporate more components than just the outer spike protein and would be generalized in the way the immune system reacts to it so that this more traditional vaccine would give us broad spectrum protection against many different variants. And that really, there is some work being done now in Europe on this, and early-stage clinical trials. So I think that is the future that will give us more success in controlling this lasting, ongoing war against this particular virus.
Dr. Sarah Crawford, Professor of Biology, Southern Connecticut State University. Dr. Crawford, thank you, as always, for giving us the update, and have a good holiday season. We will chat down the road. Thank you, as always. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Paul. Happy holidays.
You too. Thank you, Dr. Crawford. Professor Sarah Crawford there. Dr. Crawford, Professor of Biology at Southern Connecticut State University. So there you go. Interesting, huh? And that was a question I want to make sure I asked her. You know, we hear about this triple-demic, the COVID-19, the RSV, and the flu. And I'm saying to myself, could you get all three and really be in trouble? But it's interesting. She said if you get one of the three, the other two kind of can't infect you or they're warded off. It's interesting. Man, the human body and the thing that we that it tries to fight off amazing stuff.